You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, still in the freestyle era, and today is a very special episode because it's Sam and John. John and Sam. I love just hanging out with Sam. Sam is one of the, I would say, more interesting voices in punk rock, because she comes at it from a very unique angle. She's not afraid to go against the crowd, but she also doesn't go against the crowd out of like a perverse need to go against the crowd. Like, if she's into something the crowd's into, she'll say it. So Sam, always great to have you on and hang out and talk with you. Always a pleasure. And I'll be seeing you in about a month at the Philly Punk Rock. Well, I'm sorry. No. The Philly Record Freakout on March 2 in Philadelphia, where Sammy B will be selling some of her very cool records with Chris Barrett, her husband.
Yeah. Yeah, come on down and buy stuff from my get stuff off of my living room floor. Thank you.
we've got pretty much a full house for that, so that's going to be rad. It starts at 10 a.m., 10 bucks, 11:04 is $5, and it's going to be real cool. Sammy B, what's going on?
Nothing. You know, a lot of work, a lot of punk news, you know, good stuff.
So you know this band Homefront that everyone is freaking out over?
They're so good, man.
They are. And so they played Philadelphia a week ago. And for the first time ever, I didn't buy advance tickets because we've got the First Unitarian Church, which is a pretty big venue in Philly. And I said, I'll just go down there and buy a ticket and say myself $5. I drive all the way down there in traffic, Sam. I get there. It's the place to be. I walk up, sold out. I was so bummed. I'm like, oh, why didn't I just look online or buy a ticket yesterday? It was total. And it comes at, I don't know, a certain juncture in my relationship with punk, in that, like, you know, as I said before, during COVID, before COVID, I was in the scene, man. I was going to all the cool shows. I knew about all the cool bands. COVID hit, and in Philadelphia, the venue that usually held most of the punk shows, Cousin Danny's, didn't shut down, but they cut way back on shows by like a factor of 95%. And a new venue sprung up, Photo Club. The problem for me, Cousin Danny's is about a 30-minute drive for me. Photo Club's about an hour 15. So it's not like I can just like wing up there. You know what I mean? Like, it's a haul, you know. So I don't go out to those shows nearly as much. And to a degree, I'm not in touch as to what's happening with regards to the underground punk scene, at least the maximum rock and roll style punk, and kind of the cooler side, as opposed to the, you know, the org core side, if you will, or the or the college rock side, you know. So in a way, I'm feeling kind of bummed out about not being. So I went to the show. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna kind of get back to the scene, man. And I got kind of treated like a dick, you know. And I didn't do anything. People just kind of rude to me. They were kind of, you know. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm too old to be in the punk scene or that kind of punk scene, you know. Like, you definitely don't want to be the old dude hanging out, creeping people out, you know. So I don't know, Sam. I'm a little bummed out in that context right now. And I don't know what to do with it.
Well, you're in luck because Homefront's coming around in May with Chisel, the Chisel.
I'm going.
You should go and get your advance tickets. I saw Homefront with Alkaline Trio in Jersey. Yeah. And they were, I was, you know, I went to the show going, oh, I want to see Alkaline Trio, whatever. Not really. I didn't pay attention to the opening bands. I probably should have, because when I got there, I was like, who's this Homefront? I have no idea who the hell they are. And I was like, holy crap, they're good. So I think they're like in the vein of like, if you like hardcore but you're old, you would like them. But because now you're like old and mellow and like rock more, you know?
Well, see, I mean, I still like crazy destructive music. I'm kind of talking about the scene itself, the people there now. You know, I like Homefront. See, for me, Homefront is basically New Order, and I love New Order.
Exactly.
Or, you know, but like my problem isn't with the music. It's with fitting into the scene, which, frankly, I've never fit into the punk scene or maximum rock scene ever anyway.
Well, you know? John, I also don't feel like I fit in the punk scene. It's not like I look like a punk. I'm not, like, heavily tattooed or, like, you know, have that, like, you know, back, what was it, back when I was in college, they had, like, you know, the org core dude look. Like, you know, that's not necessarily the thing that I do, like, I look like. A lot of people, when they look like they meet me, like especially in a professional setting, they cannot understand that I like punk music or hardcore. So, so it's like, hard to explain. Like, yeah, I'm going to a show, and they're like, "Oh, who are you gonna go see?" Like Eric Clapton. I'm like, "No, I'm gonna go see this band called the Bouncing Souls," and they're like, "I've never heard of them." And I was like, "I know you never will." And that is good because I am okay with that. And they're like, "What kind of music is this?" This is literally what goes on at my job, like all the time. So, guys, if you can relate, please let us know. Okay. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah. Or I'll do the, yeah, I'm going to see a band that you guys probably never heard of. And then it's usually, well, try me. I know a lot of things. And then one time I said, oh, I'm going to go see Small Brown Bike. And they're like, never heard of them. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've said that. You probably never heard of them ever.
It's not Train or
I'm not
Third Eye
seeing Limp
Blind.
Bizkit anytime soon. Well, I don't think we fit in, John. I'm not sure how we fit into punk news, but we're here, so you guys have to deal with it. I believe that punk is a very inclusive space, so I also believe that we fit somewhere here. Maybe John and I, we just fit here. I don't know.
Well, that is true. Well, Sam, I'm glad to have you and that we fit in together. And actually, you bring up a really interesting point about punk music, and we're not going to dive too deep into, I guess, meta thinking. But like if you look at kind of the top dogs of punk news, most of them are not your typical either maximum rock and roll punks or core punks. Like Adam is not a typical punk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Albin is not a typical punk. Let me think who else was there. Brian Yancey, definitely typical org core punker. Chris Moran, definitely typical org core punker. Brian Schultz, kind of a typical hardcore guy to a degree, I guess.
Oh, definitely. Yes.
But like Britt Strummer, well, actually, Britt Strummer, very much a typical org core fan, I guess, is how you describe that. But
Yes.
and more, not typical at all, you
Nope.
know.
Nope.
Who am I missing? Who am I missing?
Kira?
I would say typical org core. What do you think? Typical org core?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Let's see. Who else? Any other main dogs that we're missing?
Britt
Let's see.
Reiser.
Not typical, I would say. Not typical.
Yeah.
So, well, listen. I don't know. We don't fit in, Sam. What's that song? From Frosty the Snowman. Not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We're a couple of misfits. Do, 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 do. Any
Wait,
misfits,
hold on.
anyone?
Are you saying this is what we're doing for Christmas now?
Maybe we should do Rudolph next year. Maybe we
God.
should.
Oh boy.
Along those lines, we got to think about what we want to do for April Fool's. Last year was relatively successful, so I think we got to do something kind of cool again this year.
Yeah, well, we'll start brainstorming at the hovercrafts office. So, you remain in the hovercrafts or the room with the hovercraft, and you can yell into the fan blades your ideas, and me and M will just hang out by the water cooler, and hopefully we hear you.
M has been M I you know about 2 or 3 weeks ago, M was talking about how much she loved last year's, which somehow I have no recollection of last year whatsoever until M mentioned it. I still don't remember it. It's we did like all fashion articles, which I totally forgot about, even though I did a couple.
I really think that she well, I think we came to the consensus. I think it was one of those ideas that she had that like was so far out there that we were all like, this is actually funny and fun. Guys, we have really bad dry humor at the hovercraft office, if you couldn't tell by now. And the three of us just like ran with it. So I think it's a good thing that M was really, really, really psyched about it. And I actually like the articles that I wrote, I was like, it was actually like fun for me. So I was like, oh, okay.
Well, we'll have to think about what we're going to do this year. I always love April Fool's, even though people kind of hate it. I don't care. I still love it. So anyways, listen, let's talk about some music festivals. There's been a whole bunch of music. I'm just going to run through a whole bunch of them right now. And then Sam and I are going to talk about some. So there's Bruce Cruise, which is B-Well, Pew Pew Pew, Private Function, and DFL, one of the best bands ever. There's, oh, and that's in Europe, isn't it, Bruce Cruise? Hamburg, Germany. Is it actual cruise? Is it a cruise, actually?
I think so. I think it's actually on a boat. I don't remember. Well, this one apparently is the last ever one. So who the hell knows? But I would have to say, like, you know, I'm into this. Like, I love Be Well. I would love to see them. I really want to see Calling Hours. Like, I love Farside and Popeye. So that's his new project. Penske Files is always great. DFL is fun. Tired Radio is amazing. Resolutions is great. Yeah, Her Head's on Fire is amazing. Forever Unclean, they're like, I love them so much. They're just so nonsensical fun boys or guys. Yeah, guys, I guess. So yeah, no, this is definitely a festival that I would love to go to, but I don't think it is plausible for me to go to Hamburg, Germany and for a weekend.
Punk in the Park is May 4, very close to Punk Rock Bowling. It's in San Francisco. I thought Punk in the Park was like in San Diego or LA. Is it always in San Francisco?
No, I think Punk in the Park was always kind of like in the LA area. I think they moved it up to San Francisco this year because I'm pretty sure, like, I think last year Bouncing Souls played or something like that. You know, I only remember what the Bouncing Souls does ever, right? This year's lineup with Descendants, Vandals, Dead Kennedys, Black Flag, Exploited, TSOL, Adolescents, Dickies, and Dwarfs. It seems like more of a John thing. Maybe not a Sam thing, but besides Descendants. But yeah, maybe a John thing.
Then there's also Brightside Fest, which is April 27, even sooner, with Sublime. And I'm pretty sure it's Sublime with Jacob, not Sublime with Rome, because it's listed as Sublime. But there is also a Sublime with Rome show coming up sometime also. Anyway, Brightside is April 27 in Florida. Sublime, 311, Story of the Year, Face to Face, Goldfinger, 311, Save Ferris, Unwritten Law, and Zebrahead. And I think there's another festival. I mean, I'm sure there are. Pussy Riot just canceled. Pussy Riot just canceled all their Canadian shows, which is kind of weird. They've been canceling a bunch of shows lately. Let me see if I can pull. Oh, here we go. So there's the Chats, Nova Twins, Spanish Love Songs at 2000 Trees, 2004, which I don't even know where that is, and I'm not even going to look. let's see. Oh, here we go. Scotland Calling, Champ 69, Buzzcocks, UK Subs. And of course, Punk Rock Bowling is coming up. Oh, here we go. Camp Punksylvania, Bad Cop, Co-Defendants, Laura Jane Grace. Let's see who else. Sammy Kay, The Punk Cellist, Vulture Raid, Big D and the Kids Tables, Diesel Boy, We Are the Unions. That's July 5 to 7 in Gilbert, PA. And so basically, Sam, oh, here's another one. I'm just scrolling through the website. Crossdog, The Filthy Radicals. I always love these M.O.R.E. articles where it's like a bunch of bands I never heard of ever. So a bunch of bands are playing in Canada sometime this summer. And let's see. So, I mean, those are just ones that I put off the tip of the website right now. Sam, there are here's Pugfest 2. Dollar Signs, Dreamwell, Stay Inside. That's June 28 to 30 in Michigan. I'm just scrolling through. It's like every third article is a new festival, you know. Here we go. Idols, Bob Villain, Problem Patterns. I know it's an M.O.R.E. band. That's in Oxfordshire in England, July 26 to 28. And I could keep going, but I won't because there's a lot of festivals. Sammy B, there are a lot of festivals. A, is it too many or is it cool to have a wide selection? And B, a lot of people have expressed that a lot of the festivals feel like the same 10 bands over and over and over and over again. What's your take?
There are a lot of festivals. I think that, okay, so There is a lot of new festivals in America. Let me restate that. Because there's a rich history of festivals in Europe and the UK. So I feel that a lot of the summer festivals in Europe and the UK does have a lot of the same bands, because a lot of the times they're all like, in the same time frame, summer, right? So it'll be like, the same tour essentially. In America, I feel like there is a lot more new ones popping up. That is, if you're like into a lot of different types of music, like me, like could be a problem because you would want to go to so many, but you can't, I think it also hurts that like Live Nation keeps on making new festivals.
Yeah, and I'm gonna jump in. It's amazing how Live Nation, like their marketing capabilities and marketing research are so good, and that they make these festivals that clearly look like a product, but they sell out instantly because they tapped a very specific need so directly and so specifically. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Like,
it's like crazy. I
it's
was like,
scary, honestly.
it's so scary because I'm like, I think I was like scrolling on like in like Instagram or something, and like I looked at the lineup of like something. I think it was like, was it? I think Backstreet Boys was playing with like a whole bunch of like 90s R&B stuff, and like literally like my 90s childhood living in Brooklyn, right? And I was like going, oh my God, why do I feel compelled to need to go to Las Vegas right now? And then I like realized what was happening, like who was putting it together. And I was like, God damn it, Live Nation, you see again. I was like, they definitely are marketing to a specific demographic of 30, 40-year-olds with expendable income that can flock to Las Vegas just to cry over some music that they heard when they were, like 10 or whatever. But they are a huge corporation with a lot of damn money. So if they are spending a lot of market research on this, they're definitely doing it right because they are literally targeting a very specific demographic of people for all of these festivals that they have put together in Las Vegas. I'm not even like, a part of me also feels like they probably like own land out there that they're just like, let's make this like a festival hotspot because a lot of them are all in Vegas somehow. I don't know why. Like maybe sprinkle in something somewhere else. Maybe
I know
not.
exactly why there are multiple festivals in Las Vegas. It's because Las Vegas is very favorable to setting up music festivals because they want people to come out and spend money at the casinos. Where, like, by contrast, Philadelphia is very hard to throw a festival because you got to get this license, you got to pay that guy, you got to pay this guy. You have to use certain labor to construct the stage. Where in Vegas, they're like, do whatever you want, just get people to fly out here and spend money. You see? That's the reason why. With these giant Live Nation ones, there's when we were young. What there's like when we were young. What's the R&B one you're talking about? Do you remember the name?
Let me look it up. Hold on.
I think when's playing. Here it is. Let's see. I got it right here. Lovers and Friends Festival.
Yes.
So Janet Jackson, Alicia Keys, Snoop, Mary J. Blige, Gwen, and we'll talk about Gwen in a second. Ludacris, Nas, TLC, MIA. So totally 90s and a little bit of Spice mixed in, you know. Backstreet Boys, Usher, Ja
Usher,
Rule,
yes.
Ashanti, T-Pain. Do you think like I'm well, I mean, I'm kind of in some of this. I'm not in a lot of it, and I'm really into some of it. But like it like Sam, you were into this, like Janet Jackson, Alicia Keys, Mary J, you're into all that stuff, right?
I was I literally saw it. I saw Backstreet Boys because I love boy bands, and then I looked at the rest of it and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I was like, I used to listen to some of the stuff because a lot of the stuff on here, right, is all like 90s, like, top hits type of stuff, like, stuff that you would hear on the radio. So I was like, instant emotional connection to it, right? An instant, like, nostalgia, I want to be there thing. I would have to say that instead of this, like, going to a Backstreet Boys cruise is probably going to be better for me personally than this.
Are you
But
going to a Backstreet Boys cruise?
no, because
No.
I think it was like $5,000, and I
Ugh.
was like, no. Do I really want to be trapped in a boat with a whole bunch of like 30 something, 40-year-olds that screams all the time? Probably not.
Same. I didn't write. This is one day, and I count 75 acts. How the hell do
Yeah,
you do that? How do you
I
do
have
that?
no idea. It's bonkers. Like,
I feel like you get stuck on. Like, I feel like you would like go like I'm like, oh boy, Gwen, and she'll perform for like 20 minutes. I feel like it would be. I feel like it's too much.
well, it's either that or like there's multiple stages, right?
But
Like,
still,
it's
like 25. Let's say you got three stages in one venue, right? Which is a lot. 25 acts per stage. That's insane.
yeah, well, again, it they definitely like I would have to th think that there is definitely more than one stage. Like, I remember going like kind of like Warped Tour style,
Yeah.
like a Warped Tour would have like, God, like 10 stages. So I would hope that they would have like, 10 stages because this is a lot. This is a lot of people to see, and you're gonna need to, like, if you go, pick and choose who you want to see. There's gonna be conflicts. It's a mini festival. Like, every time I've gone to Fest, the Fest down in Florida, because that's, the other Fest, the long-standing Fest that we have. There's been so many times where I'm like, okay, I can't see this band, but I need to see this band. And then just like, camp out somewhere and just stay there to make sure that I have a spot to see a band,
See, that's why I like the punk rock. I'm going to punk rock going this year. I'm glad like the lineup is kind of hit or miss for me because I feel like I'll be able to see everything I want and the stuff I miss is stuff I don't really care about. But anyway, back to Lovers and Friends. Like, let's say you're into all of this or most of this. Do you think this would be fun, or would it be a letdown, or would it be like underwhelming? Like, would it be as great as the bill makes it out to be, like, oh, I get to see Janet Jackson and Snoop and Gwen and Mary J. Like, all that jammed together. Would that be awesome or would it be underwhelming? I feel like this much packed together would be underwhelming and it wouldn't be, the quote greatest festival ever,
Yeah, I do think that, like, if you ever look at this ridiculous flyer that's very sparkly, apparently,
Kind of
there's
boring
two.
too, isn't it? Like the flyer
Well,
itself is actually a pretty boring flyer, isn't it?
it is, but it to me it seems like a throwback at like 90s club flyers. Like, if
Yeah,
you were like
true.
going to a club, it's usually just names, but like, I would have to say that there is too many people in really big font, like the headliners, and like not enough like middle people, because there's it's to me, this feels too conflicting. Like, I like to see maybe two headliner, like not two, depending on the stage, right? So, like, if there's like five stages, so I want to see like maybe 10 headliners. And then like everyone else is in smaller fonts and it just gets progressively smaller. I do hope that Backstreet Boys plays with Gwen Stefani and 98 Degrees, and that shall be perfect in my books. But anyways, I'm not telling them what to do. Oh, even better. Throw black in there.
Will Gwen perform with Eve, and will they do their hit they did together?
Hope so, because that they've actually done that on stage. I Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay, so when I saw Gwen Stefani, I saw them in Long Island, and she was touring with Eve, and they both did that song. So
Oh,
I.
was that the first time around? Love Angel, Music Baby, the tour?
No, I
Oh.
forgot what it was. It was like I got free tickets because remember there was a time where like you bought too many tickets and you won the was it Live Nation and Ticketmaster had like that class action where they were like, oh, here's all these vouchers for free things and discounted like $2 coupons. So I was like, okay, I had too many of them and I was like, okay, what can I get for free? I was like, I think it was like Gwen Stefani came up, and I was like, sure, why not?
How was that? I never got to see Gwen Solo. How was that?
Gwen Solo is freaking great. She
Yeah, I'll
like
bet.
plays all of the hits, and she also plays No Doubt songs. So like, she does not disappoint at all. Like, I would recommend seeing Gwen. I definitely would recommend seeing No Doubt if they can. I'm not sure like how they got back together or why they got back together, but I hope that, they're civil.
Wait,
And
let's discuss that. We actually talked about that on last episode, but you know me, I'm always down to talk about No Doubt. So if you recall, last year they said that Gwen, well, if you recall, when Gwen did her first three solo albums, she wouldn't do any No Doubt stuff live, if you recall. She would only do Gwen stuff. And then Dream Car came around, and then she started doing No Doubt stuff too, particularly when she did her Las Vegas residency, which I would have gotten to see if I wasn't stranded by American Airlines in Chicago for 3 days. Thanks a lot, American Airlines. And so then about a year and a half ago, they said to Gwen, will No Doubt ever get back together? And she said, you never know. But then they asked Adrian Young, they said, will No Doubt ever get back together? And he basically said, this is like 6 months ago, he basically said, no, it's not happening. And then lo and behold, they're getting back together. And as I kind of discussed last week, is it's got to be money. I mean, they must be throwing an insane amount of
Oh
money at
yeah,
them
totally.
because, I mean, No Doubt doesn't need Coachella. Like, No Doubt could do a reunion show, tour, or even show and make an insane amount of money. You know what I mean? So Coachella must be throwing like an insane amount of money times five at them. You know, like I can only imagine. It recently slipped that Coachella wanted to get Talking Heads to reunite for one show. What do you think the offer for Talking Heads to reunite was?
A couple $100,000. Oh,
Way more than that, Sam. 12 big ones. 12 big ones.
really? Oh my God.
And I gotta say, man, let's say No Doubt just does a show at like in Philadelphia at the what do you call it? Not the Core State Center, whatever it's called now, the hockey arena. 30,000 seats times average price now, $200, right? So 30,000, 300,000, 3 million times two, $6 million. Now that's not all profit, mind you, plus merch, which when you do your own show, merch is way bigger than when you do it at a festival. So
Yeah, of course.
we're looking at like $8 to $10 million, just their own show. You know what I mean? So what could Coachella possibly be throwing at them, you know?
Well, isn't Coachella tickets like $800?
Well, yeah.
And they pack it in every year. So yeah, like they definitely have the funds to be giving out money for big ticket items, or humans. Like, yeah, I'm not even sure like what they're getting, but they're definitely getting a lot of money for this. Like, and it's fine, totally fine. Like Coachella, I would have to say this year's Coachella, they got ATEEZ, which is another like K-pop band. So it does seem like they're, definitely targeting some people to make sure that they're there.
I don't understand. What do you mean? I understand they have a K-pop band. So who are they targeting to get because they have
Well,
a K-pop band?
it seems like every year so far they've had a K-pop band on there. because like I think last year it was TXT. I don't remember who the one was. It Blackpink the year after before that? It might have been, yeah. But yeah, no, they're definitely like hitting on multiple different types of people on these bills to try to get as many people as they can in this place. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Oh yeah,
Because
well,
like,
yeah, I mean, definitely, like, yeah, Lana Del Rey. Well, you're right, but like Lana Del Rey, Tyler, the Creator, Doja Cat, that's all very college kid and just after college kid right now. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
they got
but
Blur, which is like kind of you and me, you know.
yeah,
Let's see.
but
And
like,
Gwen. Oh, go ahead.
on the same day, like there's Deftones,
Oh yeah.
like, huh? How does that happen? like, you know?
Yeah, I well listen, Coachella definitely knows how to bring in the money. So first of all, do you think Gwen's gonna still keep doing Gwen solo? Because she has like two or three Gwen solo shows lined up right now. And do you think No Doubt and Gwen are gonna exist simultaneously, just like Sublime and Sublime with Rome are clearly existing simultaneously as well?
You know what? I think they can exist at the same time. I think they can because there are people that likes Gwen for Gwen, and there are people that likes No Doubt for No Doubt and nostalgia reasons, right? I think it just depends on whether or not Gwen and Co. wants to continue doing No Doubt. This might be the only time that we see No Doubt. This might be one of
It might
those,
be one-off things, yeah.
maybe we'll do a show here or there whenever we feel like it type of thing. You know, like,
There's a couple of things that kind of like definitely complicate that matter in that, like, frankly, Gwen doesn't need No Doubt. Like
no.
Gwen, I don't know what the member split is. It probably used to be, and we talked about this last week, is it probably used to be 25, 25, 25, 25. But I wonder if Gwen said, well, I want 50% because I'm Gwen and I don't need you. Like, that is to say, if it was 25, 25, 25, 25, Gwen would need to make four times as much money with No Doubt than solo just to be where she's at solo. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
So like, she doesn't need No Doubt, whereas the other, it's very much, the Stevie Nicks Fleetwood Mac thing. Stevie Nicks is Stevie Nicks without Fleetwood Mac, but No Doubt without Gwen is Dream Car, which failed horribly. So it really does make an interesting dynamic. The question being is, and I'm not saying Gwen shouldn't, I guess have that leverage, because Gwen's awesome,
Well, it's also plausible that she doesn't want it or need it because she clearly
true.
don't need it. So it's she's doing it for fun because, you
True,
know,
but
it most.
her agent doesn't think that way, though. You know what I mean?
Well, that's yeah, that's a different story. Like I can't, like, you know, money is money, right? There is something on this bill that I was like really, really like, I don't even know how this is going to work, but there's a something called Tatsune Miku. So if you don't know what that is, that's
I don't know what that is.
essentially an animated personality that is Japanese that sings and performs and has a huge following in Japan to the point where this character people in there's a couple of people in Japan that has tried to marry her, almost like an AI bot, or have married her. And there's actually like an entire like expo convention just for like loving her. So it is insane that I'm not like I as soon as I saw this Coachella thing, I was like, what? They literally got like an animated figure to do this. The first time I was in Japan, I actually saw a kabuki show in Kyoto because we wanted to go see some kabuki, but I had no idea that one of the characters was actually her animated in the kabuki. it was kind of like one of those, oh, this is happening now, where she's singing to the Kabuki people and the Kabuki people were singing to her. And I'm fascinated, so fascinated, you guys, about how this is going to play out at Coachella. Like, are you just going to be staring at a screen? Like how many screens are you going to stare at?
Well, not to beat this topic to death, but a couple of things I want to mention, then we'll move on. Is first of all, Sam, look at this Gwen solo set list: "Sweet Escape," "Sunday Morning," "Hey Baby," "It's My Life," "Bathwater," "Baby Don't Lie," "Cool," "Excuse Me, Mister," "Underneath It All," "The Tide Is High," a cover of the Paragons slash Blondie, "Ex-Girlfriend," "Hella Good," "Let Me Blow Your Mind," "Used to Love You," "Wind It Up," "Rich Girl," "Luxurious," "True Babe," I guess that's a new song, "Simple Kind of Life," "What You Waiting For," "Don't Speak," "Just a Girl," "Spider Webs," "Encore," "Holla Back Girl." How's that for a
Yeah.
freaking sit? Man,
That
I
she,
should have figured out.
I told you she plays all of the hits. Like if you're like if you like No Doubt, like and you like Gwen, like it's a no-brainer. Like just go see her now. Like I actually looked up like when I saw her in 2016.
Do you think that now that No Doubt is reunited, there's the item in the contract that they're reuniting, whatever, that like Gwen can't do No Doubt solo while No Doubt is active? You see what I'm saying?
I don't think so because isn't No Doubt really Gwen? Like, she's the
Well,
face of it.
that's a great question because if you recall, No Doubt was actually started by her brother who
Yeah.
left just after Tragic Kingdom. And so the main No Doubt songwriters after Eric Stefani left was Tony Kanal and Gwen, you see. So I don't know. It is a lot like Fleetwood Mac, and that Stevie Nicks used to be going out with what's his name, Lindsey Buckingham, and they broke up, and that complicates it. It's fascinating, and it's I mean Sam, it's fascinating. At any rate, I would love to see. I've seen No Doubt twice. They were amazing both times. I'd love to see him again, and I'd love to see Gwen. And well, I don't know, man. Oh, last question about that, Sam. Do you think, Sam, do the members of No Doubt hate each other? And as I said last week, is I wish we could go see No Doubt with Mike Park because if you recall, Mike Park was like, I can tell if band members hate each other on stage. I would love to bring Mike Park to know if No Doubt hates each other or not.
if they did hate each other, that they might have worked it out by now. Like, I don't think that they would be doing this if they 100% hated each other, you know? Yeah, so if there was something there, hopefully we can all be adults and work it out so that we can either get this reunion done or they're actually just fine. Like, I'm not sure exactly what happened in the past for them to like break up. I don't want to think about it too much, but I hope that they are fine now.
Well, we'll probably never know, frankly.
Yeah. And unless someone does an interview and we find out that way.
Well, I
John,
will
work on
email
that.
it. I Gwen, let's do an interview. Gwen, do you hate the other people in No Doubt? And well, she's like, yes, I do. I hate them. I'm just doing it for the cash. So let's see here. What else should we talk about? I do kind of, I hate giving too much praise to punk rock bowling. Not that I hate it, but it's like, we don't work for punk rock bowling. They don't pay us anything. But I gotta say, man, punk rock bowling is done pretty cool, man. And that like it's very reasonably priced. I think tickets were like $160 or something like that. It's 3 days, and the lineup is pretty rad this year. Like I said, Eva, Devo, which I'm super psyched to see. I mean, how many times do we get to see Devo? Madness, the Chats, Subhumans, Scowl, 999, which I'm super psyched about. Dwarves, Destroy Boys, a lot of spice in there. Catbite, so I'm psyched, man. I gotta say they kind of do it right. I gotta say. So
This
I guess
sounds
the point.
very John G of you.
Well, it is not as much as the other year that was like sloppy seconds. The Dwarves, the Damned, Flag, Coat Hangers. It was like John G Fest. It really was. So, anyways. There's something else we wanted to talk about, Sam, but I forgot what it was. What was the other thing that we wanted to talk about?
Green Day, I think.
Oh yeah, Green. So anyway, Green Day is going on tour. Everyone knows that. And what's interesting about the Green Day tour is they are doing all of Dookie, and is it all of Insomniac? I'm pulling it
No,
up now.
it's all of American Idiot and is all of Dookie,
Dookie.
and they
And
both actually turn an anniversary this year. That's probably why.
first of all, I'm gonna look up. See, I mean, that's a long set list off the bat. But what's kind of weird is they've got a brand new album out that got better reviews than most Green Day albums have. Like the past five Green Day albums have. So like it's weird for them to be kind of doing a throwback concert, when they've got a brand new album out, which is weird. It's also kind of weird that Rancid like didn't do anything for their album. You know what I mean? So anyways, American Idiot and wow. Dookie and American Idiot together. How long do you think that is, Sam?
Let's say an hour and a half.
Hour 40 minutes. Great, actually, like hour 37. Great guess. That's
Okay.
a long show without the new stuff or any other hits. That's a long show, real long show.
I would have to say that a lot of the punk news listeners may have been into Dookie. Like, so
No,
that
but I'm saying it's weird that they're doing this show on the back of a brand new album. Usually you do the throwback tours between albums, you know, to get keep people interested, you know.
yeah, well, I think the fact that these two albums are turning an anniversary this year, right?
Yeah.
And I think they want to celebrate that. So yes, they have a new album. They have Savior, the Saviors, or whatever. But I think we would like to hear Dookie and American Idiot more than the new album. And I think that's what they're giving us. Like, if you look at the lineup that they have for these tours, it's like literally like a throwback in itself. Like one leg is like Smashing Pumpkins, Rancid, and Linda Linda's, which is what I'm going to see. I like would love to see Smashing Pumpkins. I've seen Rancid before. They're fun. And I love Linda Linda's. And then another leg is Nothing But Thieves, the Hives, Interrupters. Like, there's two other bands, the Do Nots and stuff like that. So yeah, they're definitely tapping into something because when tickets went on sale, I told my husband, I was like, "You want tickets, right?" And he's like, "Absolutely." And I was like, "Okay."
How much
Fine.
were tickets?
So they're playing City Field in New York, so that's where the home of the Mets, our favorite baseball team. So it they were like, like 70 for like decent
Oh, that's it?
nosebleeds.
70
Yeah.
bucks? That's
Yeah,
pretty
something like
reasonable,
that.
honestly. That's
It's not bad.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like 300. That's actually pretty reasonable.
No, I actually looked at trying to get Justin Timberlake tickets, and that was like for nosebleeds, like $300. So, I did not buy those tickets.
Guess how much? Well, I got pretty good, not great, but pretty good Rolling Stone tickets. Guess how much they cost?
$400.
Only 150 bucks each. I thought for the
What?
Rolling Stones, that's kind of reasonable. You know what I mean?
That is very reasonable considering like all of the nonsense that
Yeah.
has been happening recently. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy good.
Tickets are kind of in a weird spot right now, and that like a year ago, like every ticket was like an insane amount, you know what I mean? And now it seems they're coming back down a little bit, to tell you the truth. Except for, actually, it's very much like a dark ages Europe, in that like the primo seats are still like $7,000, you know, but
Yeah.
then just behind that it's like 200, you know what I mean? So it's weird that way, you know. It's a
Yeah.
weird.
Well, I hope that these ticket agencies starts to care a little bit. I personally don't think that they care
Care?
because
They don't care
yeah.
about you at all. They don't
No, they
care
don't.
at all.
But because it was like funny because when I was looking up Justin Timberlake tickets, I like complained to my sister. I was like, this is how much they're going for pre-sale. And she was like, oh yeah, that's like the same you would spend for a K-pop ticket. And I was like, what? I was like, you spend that much money on that? Which is like not normal to me because, you know, I go to like Britney punk shows, so like, you know, $40 is like good.
Yeah, I mean, punk shows are still like $8 or $12, you know,
Oh,
although
well,
it's
more
gone up a
like
little bit,
20
you
in
know.
New York, but yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, what? I was like, this is what you normally spend for them? Like, I knew, like, you know, I knew bigger acts would amount to like larger sums of money. Like, when I went to go see Madonna, it was like, you know, $150 each. So it was like, oh, okay. Like, you know, that, and I was in the nosebleeds, but I was like, at least I'm there, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but I was like, yeah, I find this ticketing stuff to be a little crazy these days. I'm not even sure if it's going down, up, or sideways right now because I just like buy them. It does kind of seem like it's going down a little bit, but I'm not sure if it's because they care or because they, you know, because people are fighting or thanks to Taylor Swift. I'm not sure.
I think it's probably, I don't think they care at all. I quite the contrary. I think it's because they're under fire for being a monopoly. And also, though, I actually learned about this recently is last year there was like four or five Bruce Springsteen shows set for Philadelphia,
Yeah.
and they canceled them all because they had sold like 5% of the tickets or 10% of the tickets or something like that. The reason for that is they had this new system. It's called like lightning ticket system, like some kind of strategy, basically, where if people had tickets in their carts, price would go up, you see?
Oh my,
So like
yeah.
anytime you signed in, tickets were like $900. So nobody bought any tickets, and it failed horribly, which I'm very happy about. And so maybe they realized that, like, I mean, it is crazy how tickets went from baseline $70 to $200 in like 2 years. Like, prices shot way up so quick. Maybe they realized they squeezed too much and it's backfiring, so they got to bring it back down a little bit. It's never going to get back down to what it was, but maybe it is falling down a little bit because there has been so many ticket shenanigans and it's backfired to a degree.
Well, there's also still these premium tickets that's like on like Ticketmaster and stuff like that. That's like jacked up like $10 or whatever. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what these tickets are or why they're holding them for extra money, you know, because it, nor the normal concerts I go to, they're all like, you know, general admissions. But yeah, no, I do think that there has been a lot of like backfire with like pop stars that has like led to a bad light in Ticketmaster and Live Nation. Like, you know, you couldn't get Taylor Swift tickets, you couldn't get Beyonce tickets. Like they tried many, many iterations of like putting you on like a will like a queue, right? I couldn't even get Cure tickets originally. I had to go to like the secondary market to get Cure tickets. Yeah, so like, you know, it sucks. Like it
Yeah.
really, really sucks that like, you know, things happen like that. Like I literally tried to get free tickets to go see Justin Timberlake last night for because he played a free show at Irving Plaza. Irving Plaza is small for him, very small for him. So it was supposedly very intimate and it looked very intimate. And literally, there was like a crazy ticketing queue that they created where you had to like log in with your Ticketmaster. Like, one, you had to access a link that was only available for X amount of days, right? Or hours. Then log in with your Ticketmaster. Put in your credit card information. And since these tickets were free, they just put a hold on your credit card to make sure that I guess you had money. I don't know. or you're a real person. I don't know. And then there was like strict rules because they were free. Like you can't transfer them. So if you won them and it was like literally a lottery, you got the tickets in your account immediately, like type of thing. And they like laid everything out, like, you know, on this day, you're going to get notified by email. If you don't get an email, then you're not going, type of situation. But yeah, I think they're starting to get smart, and I think they're employing a lot of different tactics right now. This is wild because every single time I'm like, what am I getting myself into right now?
Well, I guess back to Green Bay, are you surprised? I mean, are you surprised that they're focusing on old albums and not the new one? Or do you think maybe it is, well, I guess there's two ways to look at it. Well, there's two ways to look at it. You could say it's strictly business in that they're like, you know, we're going to sell a lot more tickets if we just do these big albums, so let's do it. Or do you think like they put out a new album and they realize it's the anniversary and they didn't want to like lose that opportunity to celebrate those albums, so they said to themselves, even though we is Justin Timberlake married to Jessica Biel?
Yes.
Damn, that bastard. Honestly, Sam, I'm looking at the set list for Justin Timberlake. I'm not a fan, but if you are a fan, he did a lot of neat stuff, man.
Yeah, he does.
He covered Stevie Wonder. He did a 50 Cent song.
Yeah,
He did a
yeah.
Snoop Dogg song. He did two NSYNC songs, Sam.
Yeah, I
Another
know.
man. Some guys have it all. Oh well. Listen, what can I say? He's
It's
Justin
not
Timberlake.
me. I didn't get anything.
Seems like a nice guy. You think Justin Timberlake's a nice guy? Seems like a nice guy.
I don't know. There's
Oh, you
been
think he's an
bad
ass?
press. No, there's just been bad press about him recently. I don't know.
Oh, what kind of bad press?
We'll discuss that with you later.
Well, fair enough. At any rate, back to punk or quote punk Green. So, do you think Green Day? Do you think it was a financial decision, or do you think they truly realized they had two competing artistic interests—the new album or the reunion of the old ones—and they said, "Well, we're only going to get a chance to do the reunion of the old ones now, so let's do it." Or not reunion, with anniversary.
I think they realize that it's an anniversary and this is the only opportunity that I'm gonna get to do this right now. So I think they pivoted and said, let's do the An American Idiot. I don't think that they're not going to play new stuff. I do think that whatever excess time that they have, because Green Day is, yeah, like Green Day's been there forever. I do see them playing for a long, long time, you know. So there is room for ex other songs, you know, that even though like they might have like an half an hour for that, right? Or 15 minutes, who knows? But yeah, no, I do think that they were like, oh, this is the opportunity. Everyone's doing it anyways, because there's tons of bands like doing anniversaries, like Sunny Day Real Estate is doing Diary, like, you know, like it's that's what we want. That's what I want. I just want to hear the stuff I want to hear. So thank you, all of you guys, for just playing albums that I want to hear, because they know, yes, it's a marketing strategy because they know that they're gonna get me to buy a ticket.
Well, I will say, I'm not trying to be a party pooper in that, like, reunion shows, or not reunion, anniversary shows can be, like, I saw the Danzig anniversary show this past summer, not where they did all of Danzig one. It was incredible, Sam. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen. So you might see one of the best shows that you have ever seen. It was so rad, so rad.
Well, the thing is with these things, right? Like a lot of the times you might be too young or you got into the band late and you know, this might be your favorite album by them, but you know, you weren't around the time that they were playing it. So you kind of like hope and wish that like an anniversary show happens so that you can be like, I heard my favorite album front to back or you know, whatever. Or you're just old like me and John and want to relive the time that we had with the album when it came out. So like, you know, it's twofold. Like it's a thing. I embrace anniversary shows. I'm all for it. Just, you know, don't give me an anniversary show of an album that I don't care about. I'm not going to pay for that.
I actually like, what if, and Sam, as you and me, the time just flies. It's already been an hour. It feels like it's been about 20 minutes. But like, that's what, like, I actually would go see a band do an album I don't like by them. Like, can they fix it? Can they make it awesome? You know what I mean? I'm trying to think of an example. Like, let's each think of an example of an album by a band. The band, we love the band, but the album we don't like, and what we like to see them do that live to see if they can make it like good. You know, I'm trying to
Oh
think.
boy. You're doing this to me now. Why?
I'm trying to think of like some of my like favorite bands that don't have great albums. I mean, I talk about Danzig way too much, so I won't mention Danzig because there's a few to pick from there. But how about, let's say, let's run through the catalog. Bad Brains have got a lot of bad albums, and I think even if they did them, it'd still be pretty bad. So I won't do Bad Brains. Dead Kennedys have a couple albums that I think are all right. Maybe a Misdirected. I'm trying to think of a band that might have one. Like World Inferno is always has. Well, every World Inferno album is actually pretty good. Let's see here. How about? How about?
Okay, let's see. What's a really bad album that I'm like, ooh.
Ah, here we go, Sam. How about Iggy Pop doing like one of his crappy solo albums? Can he make it good live? That's my vote. Like, people always say New Values is like a really good Iggy Pop record, and I listen to it, I'm like, this album is boring. So I would love to see Iggy doing all New Values. Can he make it good?
Here's the thing, you could always revamp old songs, right? You can always
Yeah.
revisit it and make it different. You can make it different by adding keys. You can make it different by adding synths. You can make it different by adding things that you wouldn't normally see in like punk bands, right? You could also revisit it vocally. Like, there's been numerous times where I've seen the Bouncing Souls and they have vocally did something different or stopped like a little bit different to things. Gaslight Anthem does it a lot too, like, you know, Brian Fallon crooning the way that he does. Yeah, so I do think that you can take an album that people don't like and potentially rethink it, but you have to want to do that. And because a lot of times, like, you might be an artist and you're just like, you know, dead set on this is what I made at this time. I don't want to ever think about it. Like, Bad Religion did a freaking album in 1983 called Into the Unknown. It's a weird album. They rarely, like, they never play anything off of it. So, yeah.
Let's wrap up with this, Sam. What album would you like to see front to back by a band that you like?
Well, oh boy, I've seen so many albums front to back. I've seen so many Bouncing Souls albums front to back. They're actually playing soon in Chicago, New York, Denver, and Garden Grove. They're doing 3 nights and 5 albums. And I'm actually going to one of them, which is going to probably going to be my favorite because they're doing How I Met Your so they're doing Summer Vacation, which is the record that got me into Bouncing Souls because my husband would play in the car nonstop one entire summer, and Anchors Away, which is my favorite Bouncing Souls album because it's just very moody. It is I think that's the one that like really hooked me into the Bouncing Souls. So yeah, I'm gonna have an emotional crisis that day. So find me on a boat somewhere in New York Harbor crying with probably 50 million of my other Bouncing Souls friends.
Well, they have Sam doing Bouncing Souls. I guess do I have to pick a band that exists right now, or can it be a band that's long since broken up?
I think you could pick a band that's long since broken up, whatever you want.
Then I'll simply pick Dead Kennedys doing Off Plastic Surgery Disaster. Dead Kennedys with Jello, that is. But that's not going to happen. So, oh well, you can always wish. Sam, anything you want the listeners to think about or look forward to or check out or read at the website this week? Because I have not put a single thing up with the website this week at all. And I think Em's getting mad because I have not done jack shit to the site this week.
Oh man, that sucks. Don't get Em mad. Em's always happy. Well, I actually have been kind of around punk music this week. I don't know why or how or whatever, but I did post up something and I'm really excited about it. This band called Waterweed, they're from Japan. They're like a melodic hardcore punk. They just released an song, a single called Cure. The reason why I'm excited about it is because it's actually going to be the title opening theme of an anime series out there. So go check it out. I love that band too much, maybe too much. And I love the fact that they're doing very Japanese things. So, yeah, check out Cure.
Well, there you have it, and we will see you Wednesday
Soon!
next week.